And my name is Sam. My wife Taylor and I are your pastors here. And we're just thank you. We are thrilled that you're here with us today. And before I get into the word today, I just got a special, I want to say a special thank you to some special guests. We have Daniel and Sarah Kufis in with us all the way from Wausau, Wisconsin. Thank you guys so much for joining us. They've been checking us out online for how long? A year or two? And so it's just so cool. They're vacationing in Chicago. They said, we got to see what's going on in Hammond, Indiana. Glory to God. And we're so thankful you and your beautiful family are here. I really believe in that. You guys are a sign of what's going to come. People are going to be coming to Hammond, Indiana, and just saying, I don't know why I'm coming here, but there's something going on in Hammond, Indiana. And we're just so thankful you are here today. But today we're kicking off a new three-part teaching series. How many of you guys enjoyed the last few weeks where we went over Love Song? It was so fun, the Song of Solomon. I asked a young adult, she was in her mid-20s, so what do you think that love song, you know, as a single person, what do you think? And she said, I'm so sick of hearing about people's sex lives and fawns, I am so happy we're done. So it was a lot of fun, but we're moving on, and I'm excited for what the Lord has for us now. We're going to be kicking off a new three-part teaching series today. What happens here at CLC, if you guys don't know, we're one church meeting in three different locations. So we have locations in Tinley Park, and also I see Christian walking out, I forgot. So we actually started consumed junior high and high school discipleship classes during our 9 a.m. service. And so if you have a high school, junior high student going into sixth grade, we actually transitioned last week. So if they're going into sixth, seventh, or eighth, grade all the way up to high school. We have discipleship classes meeting for your students during our 9 a.m. gathering now. How awesome is that? So if you guys would like to join, they are heading out there right now. But today we're kicking off a new series called The Waiting Room. Right. Somebody say The Waiting Room. And here's what we do. We have three different CLC locations, one in Tinley, one in Blue Island, and then here in Hammond, obviously. And we typically collaborate and teach the same sermons, same series at different locations. But a couple times a year, we break off and we really kind of share what we believe is the pastors in our locations, what is God's heart, what's he speaking to us here in this house. And so I want to speak directly to a season that I believe a lot of you are in right now. How many of you would be honest today and say, I'm waiting for God to show up and do something in my life. I've been waiting on a promise of God in my life. I know that I'm what I'm called to do, and it's great, but I'm getting a little tired, weary of well-doing. Anybody like that? And I want to speak to a place where I believe that a lot of you are, and we're going to talk about what it means to wait on the Lord. And so about 4 years ago, we're going to get this graphic. Some of you guys have seen this before. We actually did a variation of this sermon series 4 years ago. This is going to be a little bit different this go around, but it was such a special time in our church family. How many of you guys were there when we met in the church basement down at the Forming Arts Theater? So, okay, there's like 10 of us, right? Our whole church fit in a little tiny room in a basement. And we talked about what it meant to wait on the Lord. We said, we're going to wait on the Lord, and God is going to do something special. We're going to share some testimonies of what he did in that period. I believe God's about to do the same thing, though, this go around. And we're about to see something unprecedented. Amen? And so here's what we're going to do today. I want to look at one scripture found in Isaiah 64 and 4. If you have your Bibles and want to go there, we're going to look at really one scripture today, Isaiah 64 and 4. I'm going to get there in just a moment. If you're taking notes, this is going to be a little more of a teaching today. The title of this teaching is simply this: waiting is dot, dot, dot. Okay, we're going to fill in the dot, dot, dot. So waiting is dot, dot, dot. Let me tell you, make sure you come back next week. We're going to talk about what in the world do you do while you're waiting. We're going to talk about what to do in the meantime. That's going to be a blast. But today, I think we're going to have a lot of fun as well. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive in. How many of you guys are expecting that God's going to close us out in a strong fashion in the month of August here at CLC Hammond? What I'm going to do, sometimes I think, you know, we get a little like dignified in church. We get a little Christian-y sometimes. And so, you know, it's just like, okay, we have worship, then we have a prayer, and now we have a sermon. And if we could, I'm just expecting God to do something. So how many of you guys like could show like just by like a shout of praise in this place on the count of three, like, well, I'm expecting God to show up and show out in the next 3 weeks, okay? Can we get a little expectant in this place today? Like, I just didn't come here to go to a church service to cross it off my list and go on. I came to experience God today. And here's the thing, I came to experience God. I know that people say that people don't go to church in the summer. Can I tell you that we had our highest attended month in the month of July, and I believe God's about to do that again in August. And so on the count of three, how many guys are expecting God to do something in this place? Come on the count of three. One, two, three. Come on and praise him in this place. Hallelujah. Come on, five more seconds. What? Two, three, four, five. Hallelujah. Sometimes, church, you know, it's easy to get into a routine. Sometimes you got to press in a little bit and get in a place of expectancy. Let's pray, and I'm going to dive in. Father, thank you. Thank you that it's 90 degrees and we have an air conditioner that works. Thank you, Lord, that the Cubs are in first place and the White Sox aren't. We love you, Lord, and we lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're new here, we are Cubs fans in Hammond, Indiana. Oh, man. For those who know me, speaking of the Cubs, I'm a very impatient person when it comes to certain things in life. I think there's a part of all of us that we just can't stand waiting. It just feels like a lot of times a waiting season is such a wasted season that you're just sitting around doing nothing. I can't stand waiting. I can't stand being stuck in traffic on the Dan Ryan. I can't stand when the person in front of me at that Walmart line at the Walmart on Indianapolis that's 14 hours long. I don't get it. I don't understand how you waited in line all that time, but you still don't know how you're going to pay. I don't get it. I don't like waiting when you go through the drive-thru and they tell you you pay and then pull up to the next station and they say, I'm going to bring your food later. I thought this was supposed to be fast food. I don't like the time in between the space when I ask my toddler to do something and the time he actually does it and all the parents said, amen. I don't like waiting between the start of a diet and the time you have to see results. I want to lose weight in between breakfast and lunch. Glory to God. You know, one group of people that we know about waiting really are Chicago Cubs fans. How many of you know we waited for over 107 years? But glory to God in the highest, we're waiting no longer. Hey! White Sox fans, you're going to understand that pain, the route you guys are going right now. I don't like waiting at the waiting room at the doctor's office. I know we have doctors here, so I don't want to offend anybody, but I don't understand how you're going to make me wait for you, but you won't wait for me. I don't understand how I'm waiting so long and I don't even have free snacks. I don't understand in the waiting room how you can't play good music. There's Spotify. Come on, create a playlist. And while all these things are fun, I think there's some things in life, though, that are a little more serious that we're probably all waiting on in life as well, that we're in the waiting room here even today. Things like the career transition waiting room where you're 40, 50, 60 years old. You thought, man, I would never be in this place at this age. How about the financial waiting room? How long will it take me to get on my feet financially? Parents, students, we know this. How long is it going to take me to pay off my student loans? I thought I would have these paid off by the time I'm 67, but they're still there. Some of you are in the spouse waiting room. It might actually hit you a little bit when we were talking about this love song series, and you're like, man, when is God going to send me my person? Some of you are in this married waiting room. When is my marriage ever really going to get better? When is my husband going to come here? When is my wife actually going to start loving the Lord too? And you're in that marriage waiting room. Some of you have been married, and you're in that baby waiting room where it seems like everybody else is getting married. It's like, when is my child going to come? Some of parents, you're waiting for your teenagers to start making better decisions. You can look at them and give them elbow right now. I say he's talking to you. But we're waiting for our kids to kind of turn some things around, and then they get grown, and then we're just waiting for them to move out of our house. It's you're 35, you can now move out, right? Some of you are in the literal waiting room for your health, where you're waiting for your situation to turn around, and you've been praying, and you've been fasting, and you've been doing all you know to do, but yet your health is still not where it's supposed to be. But I think it's safe to say today that we're all waiting on something. By show of hands today, how many guys say, I'm waiting for God to do something in my life, where you're just waiting in expectation for God to show up? And whatever it might be, I think it's safe to say we're all kind of in the waiting room of life. And the waiting room, you guys know this, is not a fun place to be. I think it's safe to say in an environment like this, none of us like waiting. Because patience isn't a virtue that we're born with. We're born sinful. Nobody had to teach you how to get ahead of God. Waiting is not only not fun, but it's something we're also not good at. I think this is how a lot of us tend to wait on the Lord. We wait like my four-year-old when he gets in the car. And the first thing he says, we've been in the car for 3 minutes. And what does he say? Are we there yet? And I'm like, bro, we just got in. And 2 seconds later, he says, are we there yet? Does it look like we're there yet? But how many of us wait on the Lord the same way? God, when is this going to be done? Lord, I've been waiting forever. God, when are you going to show up? I'm so sick and tired of waiting. And typically in the waiting room, if we're all honest today, it's really easy to start looking at everybody else and what they're getting while you're waiting on God to show up for your blessing. Has anybody done that before? You look at somebody and they're getting blessed and you're looking at their Insta stories on Instagram and it's like, God, I know that you saw him in the club last night because you're all knowing. And I can guarantee you, God, that you know that that dance they're doing at the club in that outfit was not a praise dance, God. And you blessed them, but you didn't bless me. Don't act like you didn't do it. I look at people, they don't even pray in the Spirit, God, and you're blessing them. They don't even have a prayer life. But it's in the waiting room of life where we start looking at everybody else, and how many of us get anxious? God, you're doing it for them. When's it going to be my turn? And here's the thing, it's in the waiting room as well that Christians can say some of the darndest things to you. That God is teaching you to let go and let God. How many of you heard this? This is just a test, but it's going to be your testimony. You just got to get through. How about this one? You might be delayed, but you're not denied, right? And how many of you guys heard this? God's doing the work in you so he can do the work through you. Ha! My favorite, God's preparing you. Well, I know he's preparing me, but I don't care right now. I just want it to be done. It's like, that does not help me feel better. I know these things are all true, and I know you mean well when you say it, but the truth is, God, can I just move on with what you're doing in my life? Is there a way I could put this in the microwave instead of a crock pot? Can I get out of the waiting room faster? Because how many of us, we just want to be done with this situation so we can do the thing that God called us to do, but what I've been learning in life, that a lot of time what you're called to do is be better in the waiting room. And I've been learning in my life that God has called you, what he's called you to. It's probably going to take longer than you think. Can I get a witness? It's going to cost more than you think. Can I get a witness? And it's going to be harder than you think. So it's critical, if you're going to do the work of God on this earth, that you learn to wait well. And over the next 3 weeks, my prayer is that we learn to wait well. Yes, let's work well, but first let's learn to wait well. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about the art of waiting well. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people really think that waiting is something passive. But what I want to show you in the next 3 weeks, waiting is something that's active. In fact, I actually believe that a lot of Christians use waiting as an excuse to spiritually procrastinate on the thing that God's called them to do. A lot of times, we're waiting for God to show up, but I think God's just waiting for us to tap into him and actually call on his name once again. That he's trying to do, really, as Christians like to say, he's trying to do that thing in you. And here's the thing, waiting is an active thing. Let me show you this in the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say about waiting. And I want to look at a singular verse today from the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, the book of Isaiah is in the middle. I want to look at Isaiah 64 and 4. If you're new here, you're new to Christ, and you can download Bible.com. It's a great app. If you have a Bible and don't know where Isaiah is, there's times when I'm sitting like at pastor's conference, and I kind of feel funny looking at the table of contents, but you can do it, right? Okay, Isaiah's in the middle. So Isaiah 64 and 4, this is the main text I want to look at today. It says this. This is the prophet Isaiah. He says this, for since the world began, no ear has heard, and no eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him. Here's what this is saying. Since the beginning of time, no person has seen a God like our God. Since the beginning of time, no ear has heard about a God like our God. That our God, Jehovah, our God, is in a category all of his own. Our God is undefeated. Our God is unmatchable. Our God is awesome in power. Isaiah is simply saying this in Isaiah 64 and 4. Our God is unique. And one of the qualities, characteristics of our God that sets him apart from all other gods is this truth. This is what you need to know about our God in this place, that every other God with the lowercase g is all about working to get into right standing. But God says, I'm not going to make you work to get into right standing. I want you to wait on me and I'll put you in right standing. He's saying, this is the main thing I want to imprint in your spirit. This is what sets our God apart from everybody else, that God works for you. Well, you wait on him. This is the truth of Isaiah 64 and 4. It doesn't say God works for you while you work for him. God's not looking for more people to work for him. God's majesty is shown by his power of his work, not the power of your work. God is saying God works for you while you wait on him. Isaiah is pointing this out. This is one characteristic of God that makes him so unique, that this is completely different. God works for you while you wait on him. In other words, it's those situations in your life that when you look back in time, that you take a look back and you know that you did everything that you could do, but then all of a sudden you gave it over to God and God showed up and all you can say is, God did that. Does anybody have any of those, God did that? Like, I was praying and I was seeking and I was doing all these things, but I finally gave it over to God and he worked Romans 8 and 28 in my life. He worked all things together for my good. God did that. You know, somebody asked me last week, how did you wind up here? And I never thought about this until he asked me. Actually, this started when I was 12 years old. How many of you guys know that God works all things together over time too, right? When I was 12 years old, my Little League baseball team, my parents are here today too. Hello, parents. They paid for all this, so I'm thankful for this. But my Little League baseball team made it to the Little League World Series, and we finished 7th in the world. You guys know Little League World Series time's coming up. It was on TV and all that fun stuff. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but I did hit the first home run of the 1992 Little League World Series. You can Google that. I'm telling you, it'll show up. Got the ball to prove it. My dad was standing in the outfield. So I'm telling you, I'm not lying. But when we were 12, we made it to the Little League World Series. It was kind of a big deal. And so 14 years go by, and in that 14 years, I go to high school, go to college, and my wife and I open a business in Homer Glen, Illinois. Now, Homer Glen is right next to Lamont, and they don't have a Little League. So the Lamont Little League team is paired up with Homer Glen, okay? And during that time, Lamont's the next team to make it to the Little League World Series. 14 years later, somebody calls ABC 7 News and says, there's a guy that actually was the last team to make it from Illinois that hit the first home run of the 1992 Little League World Series, and he has a business down the street. You should go interview him. So Ben Bradley walked into my store to interview me. And so they did a special in 2006. Like, it was just a story of, like, okay, you played, and now what do you say to these kids? And I was talking, what do I do now? I work in the baseball world, and I coach. That's what I was doing. But what did you know, around that same time, we just started attending Christian Life Center. And I never talked to Pastor Jerry McQuay before, and he was watching the ABC 7 News with Ben Bradley. And he saw an interview, and he looked at my face, and he's like, that guy goes to my church. And so he came out to me. The first conversation I ever had was Pastor Jerry said, hey, I saw you on the news. I didn't know you worked with high school students. But can I tell you what was in his head over time? You work with high school students. I have a need in the student ministry. Here's the thing. God was working all things together for the last 25 years. I wasn't playing Little League baseball thinking, I hope I get on the news so this guy could see me. But God worked Romans 8 and 28 in my life. He worked all things together for the good of those who love him. God did that. I was just talking to my guy, Sean, you know. He was saying this. He said, man, we've been in the season. They just went to Bethel. We got any Bethel music fans? And his sister just went there, and they do something called soaking, which is just really another form of waiting, okay? And he's like, so we've been soaking in the morning. It's such a Bethel thing, soaking. And he said, so we're going to take some time to wait on the Lord in the morning. Can I tell you what happened? He's waiting on the Lord, and God works for those who wait on him, right? You know what happened? He needs a job. Guess what happened? He got two interview calls right after he got done spending time with the Lord, because God works for those who wait on him. God did that. And I don't know what it is in your life, but how many of you have your own testimony? You're here today because God did that. And what I wanted to remind you is sometimes your next step in life, I don't know about you, but there's times and seasons in life where your next step is so foggy. that you can't see what's next. And I'm telling you, it's hard to step into what you can't see. But when you can't see what's ahead of you, sometimes you need to look behind you and see how good God has been to you. You need to understand, hey, I have history with my God. That faithful he has been and faithful he will be. That there's situations in your life that you didn't promote yourself, that you found yourself in rooms that you don't have any business being in, that people look at you and they say, how in the world are you here? You don't have the right degree. You don't have the right pedigree. And all you can say is God did that. And you know what you just did? You gave God the glory, because our God is the kind of God who's undefeated. He's the kind of God who works for you. Well, you wait on him, but I got good news for some people today. I've said this before, and let me say it again, but God not only did that, but God is doing that. You see, our God is not the great I was. He is what? The great I am. So God not only did it, he is doing it. And if you came in here today in the waiting room of life, here's what you need to know, that as you are worshiping, as you are praying, as you are bombarding the throne this week with prayers, that God was doing, being true to his word, that he was working the promise out in your life, that he was working for you while you waited for him. That you might not see it yet, you might not understand it, but somewhere in the supernatural world right now, as we wait on our King, as we wait on our God, that God is working for you while you wait on him. How many of you guys want to activate that promise in your life? You see, that's how awesome our God is. It says that God works for you while you wait on him. Now, here's the thing in Isaiah 64:4. Who does God do this special work for? You know, what we find is really interesting. We find here a conditional promise of God. You see, on one end you have common grace. How many of you guys know that God still works for people who don't wait on him? It's called common grace. He died for you while you were still a sinner. He provides breath and life, and he woke you up this morning. It's common grace. He's good to everybody. But here is the thing. This is a conditional promise found in Isaiah 64:4. How do you get this special work of God activated in your life? It says this, that God works for those who do what? Work for him? No. God does the special work for those who wait on him. It's a conditional promise found in Isaiah 64:4, that God will do the special work in your life for those who wait on him. So the next logical question is, well, what in the world does it mean to wait on God? Let me give you three real quick things that waiting is, okay? Waiting is praying first before acting. I know that sounds basic, but how many of you guys made a decision this week without praying? Just got really quiet. Isaiah is writing this to a people who had a habit of going to God at the last resort instead of their first response. These people would only go to God when they got into really big trouble. It's kind of like the last time you got pulled over, you didn't pray before you started driving, you started calling out to God, Lord, help me not to get a ticket. We see this in Isaiah 31:1, kind of the context. It says this, what sorrow awaits those who look to Egypt for help, trusting their horses, their chariots and charioteers, and depending on the strength of human armies, instead of looking to the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. He's saying that they had a habit of asking man first, and going to God second. And God really is reminding them, don't trust in man for what only I can provide. You see, their first reflex was to turn to man instead of pausing and consulting God on what to do. Because God works for you when you wait on him, you need to go to him first. Now, this is a value that we've been trying to work into our culture here in CLC Hammond. And the value is simply this, we pray first. You guys noticed probably about a year ago, some of you guys noticed, and I don't know why we didn't do this sooner, but we started opening up our services with what? Prayer. Why? Because we pray first. When we have a meeting, what do? We pray first. Before we break bread, what do? We do what? We pray first. When we go into our Uber driver's car, what do? We pray first. Before you walk into the meeting, what do? You pray first. Before you walk into a meeting with whoever you're meeting with, your friends, you pray first. You seek God for counsel first. You wait on him. God, how do you want me to act today? You pray first and act secondly. And when I say pray first, I'm not talking about going to your YouVersion app for 3 seconds to click off the boxes and go about your day. How many of you guys have YouVersion Bible plans you're following? It's an awesome thing, okay? And then they got this new feature, and I'm super competitive, so it's called streaks. I found myself like, I'm just going to click this off so I can keep my streak up, right? It's like, I'm not talking about just clicking stuff off so you can get done with it. I'm not talking about Lord bless his food. I'm talking about intentionally connecting with the creator of the universe and asking him for direction and the decisions you're supposed to make in your life. You pray first so you can act second. It's intentionally connecting with God because we have a God who cares about the details of our life. And for those of us who are weary, tired, and I'm not talking about the tired that you can sleep off. I'm talking about like tired. This is the promise of God in Isaiah 40:31. But those who do what? Wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They should run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. For those of us who are weary, sometimes we need to take that intentional time. Connect intentionally with God while we wait on the Lord. Now, the Hebrew word for wait in this text is the word haka. It sounds like I'm about to spit on you, okay? It's haka. Now, only old school people are going to understand what this means, but to tarry. Anybody been taught to tarry growing up in church? Yes, all the Pentecostals said amen, right? You don't leave until you receive, okay? But haka is to tarry, to abide, to sit for a while. And here's the thing we're talking about when we pray. Let's intentionally set some time apart to connect with our God. And sometimes in life we get so busy, we don't linger in the presence of God and hang out with him long enough. All we do is unload, but we don't listen long enough for him to talk back. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. Set some time apart this week to hear from the Lord, to wait on the Lord. And when I think of what waiting looks like, to me, I thought this is a good picture of what it means to wait. Is a funnel. Now, I was walking around with this with Andre, and he was just going back to his party days. He used to use this thing a lot, right? But you guys see how this is, what is it on the top? Big, right? It's wide. This is kind of the posture of a funnel if I were to do it, right? What does this look like I'm doing right now? And here's the thing, in this, I'm the funnel. I'm not the thing that fills it. You see, God is the one. God is the water. God is the river of life. God is the bread of life. God is the great I am. God is the water. He's the Holy Spirit. And what does God do? He fills it, right? And here's the thing that we need to understand. You can't give in life what you've never received. And this is the power of waiting, is it not? Is you can't give what you haven't received. And so this is, to me, what waiting looks like. Is really, I'm not good with this kind of stuff, can you guys tell? Is this what it looks like? God is the one who pours, right? Right. Yeah. And here's the thing, you are poured out. And the worship team is going to kill me for getting their stuff all wet. But isn't this what getting filled up means by Christ? Is you wait for him in a position to receive. And here's what I was saying too is you can't give in life what you've never received. It's why some people, why you can't forgive somebody. Because you've never received it from God. It's why you can't encourage somebody because you've never received encouragement from God and let them tell you a little bit about who you are. It's why you can't actually be happy for somebody else because you don't understand the plan God has for you, so you're jealous of what God gave them. It's why you really can't love the way Christ loves because you never experienced the love of a father. And I'm telling you what happens. This is the posture of receiving. And I want to be a church known as people who pray first and act secondly. But not let's not go about our day without direction from God. And here's what we see happens. When you pray, how many of you guys know God answers? You might not like it. Dorothy said sometimes it's no. But from what I've seen, you kind of get two different answers when you pray with God. Sometimes it's like, okay, yes, go and do this. You know, he'll answer yes. Other times, I can't stand this answer. He answers, be still. I'm like, I would rather have a firm no than be still and wait. But here's number two on how to wait. God's going to answer one of two ways, I think, a lot when you wait. But waiting is continuing to rely on God when he says go. And here's what happens when you consult. He might give you a go, okay? Sometimes he says go. David prayed to the Lord in 2 Samuel 5:19. David prayed this, shall I pursue the enemy? What did God say? Go. Now here's a lot of time what we do. We stop waiting on the Lord when he says go and start working in our own power. But when you go, you need to stay relying on God, okay? We waited on God during worship. I was waiting on God. God, what do you want me to do? And I'm still waiting on God even while acting. It's called listening to the Holy Spirit in your everyday life. And for those of you who hear like you don't know what your next step is in life, I know so many people don't know what your next step is. Can I give you some encouragement today? Sometimes if you don't know what's next, you should go back to what God told you last. Ask yourself the question, did you finish what God gave you to do last? You know, for me, I was thinking about this and this principle because God's been telling me to do some things that make no sense in this season. I'm like, I could do 400 other things. But God reminded me of this. Is back at 6 years ago, I was a student pastor in Consumed Tinley Park. I kind of followed that whole Little League thing, right? And I was in a season where I thought I was ready to move on with student ministry, and I was trying to, my dad knows this. He's the guy I call. I'm like, Dad, I'm thinking about maybe it's time for me to move on. And, you know, what does this look like? And I'm thinking, I'm going to start working my connections, right? You know people, I know people. Let's work our connects and get a job. And meanwhile, the Lord was working with me on this. I read Habakkuk 2 in my personal devotion time. And Habakkuk 2 says, write the vision and make it plain. And I felt the Lord say in my devotion when I was waiting on him, this is what I want you to do in this season. I want you to write the vision of Consumed Student Ministries and make it plain. And I'm like, this is such a waste of time. I want to leave, right? Can I tell you, though, what happened is I didn't know how to write a vision statement, so I learned. And so I read books and studied and prayed. And what the Lord gave me for Consumed Student Ministries was this. We exist at Consumed Student Ministries to lead students into a consuming relationship with Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. Consuming means on fire. It means all in. You know, we don't want to entertain kids. We don't want to provide social justice without spiritual justice. That we're here to lead students into a consuming relationship. This is what we're all about with Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, I've been gone from there for 6 years. You know what's carried across 3 campuses and 3 locations still on the wall in my office? Consumed Student Ministries exist to lead students into a consuming relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. Right after I finished that, you can't make this stuff up. Right after I finished that, my executive pastor came to me. I just brought it to our team. I'm excited about it now. I'm actually like, I got a little more encouragement. My executive pastor, my boss at the time, comes to me. He's like, hey, Sam, are you ready to move on? And he's like, because we want you to be the next campus pastor in Northwest Indiana. Now, here's the thing. I didn't promote myself. I didn't work that out. God worked all things out while I was waiting on him. And I want to encourage you today in our lives. I'm telling you, God is true to his word. God will work for you while you wait on him when he tells you to do something that makes no sense. But God is always true to his word. So sometimes God says, go. Sometimes God says, be still and know. See, waiting is trusting God enough to be still when he says, be still and know. So sometimes he just says, I got this. Take your hands off it. I'm going to work it out. Has God ever spoken any of that to anybody here? Like, let me be your vindicator. I'm going to handle this. And then I usually try to do things in my own way and get in trouble. But be still and know. He did this with Moses in Exodus 14 and 14. It says this, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. See, the Lord works for those who do what? Wait on him. And he told Moses, be still, I'm going to take care of this. Some of you guys need to understand, when God tells you to be still, listen, and he'll take care of the thing he said to do. God will work all things together for your good as he says, be still. You need to know, I got this, I want you to be still. I'm going to work on your behalf. I'll be your promoter. I'll get you where I called you to be. You don't have to do the work. You wait on me, I'll work for you. But here's what you need to understand about God, because else you're going to give up every single time. These are 2 things that I've learned from experience, that God is never late, but he sure does take his time. How many of you could testify to that, man, this took forever? And I tend to forget from time to time that a day is like 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years is like a day. And I think we complain about God's timing, and God's like, it's only been 3 seconds. But God is not only above time, God is time. He created the clock. So God never promised either that it would be easier, it would take a short amount of time. And I think sometimes the most frustration in our lives comes from this, is that we expect God to do things that he never promised you in the first place. How many times are we so mad and angry and frustrated at God because of his timing, but God never told you it would be easy. He just said he's going to do it. We see this with the Israelites. He promised them the promised land. How did he take them? The Bible says he took them the roundabout way. You see, you got to understand that God is never late, but he sure does take his time. And one of the things that God has really been dealing with me out of my personal life is simply this, is that a waiting season is never a wasted season. So many times we get so caught up in where we're supposed to be, but how many of you know that even though you're not where you want to be, God is still doing a great thing where you are today? That he's still doing all things. And maybe we could take a step back today and say, I know that I want to be somewhere else, and I know I want to get out of this waiting room. But somebody here, maybe you need to hear this today. You can still have joy when you don't have everything you want. God can still bring you joy right where you're sitting today. Another thing we need to remember about God when he tells you to be still, you got to remember God is good. And you hear the people who grew up in church, I say God is good, and you say what? And I say, God is good. And you say, what? And then I say, all the time. Now, here's the thing. We repeat it, but we don't act like it. You see, I'll only wait for somebody that I trust. My wife worked at a restaurant called Chicago Pizza and Oven Grinder. There's a two-hour wait from the time the door is open to the door is closed. 2 hour minimum, okay? You're going to go there, wait 2 hours. Here's the thing. People wait down the block because of the promise of a good pizza pot pie. We wait for entertainment at a baseball game because we trust athletes. I wait in line at Great America because I expect to be entertained on a roller coaster. But then why won't I wait on God and be still when he tells me to wait? It's because you don't trust him that he's good. You see, I'll only wait on somebody that I trust. When God says, be still, I'll be still if I trust that he has my best in mind. And can I remind you today that God is good 100% of the time. That our God is not the kind of God who's out to punish you. What he's doing, he's working in you so he can do a greater work through you. And I know you don't want to hear that. I just want to be done with it. But I'm telling you, our God is good. And don't forget today that our God is good, and so he's so good, we should be willing to wait on him. That every promise of God is what? Yes and amen. And we need to stand on the goodness of God because I've never seen the righteous forsaken. You know, one of my good friends, Kevin Carter, some of you guys know him. He lost his wife suddenly to cancer a little over two years ago, and I was talking to him, and I was complaining. You know, you guys ever just feel like complaining, right? He was a safe place to complain. And he said, Sam, one thing that God taught me, you need to trust him. His wife just died in her 40s 2 years ago. And he said, God has never let me down. You need to trust him. But our God truly is good all the time. And I'm telling you, when God says be still, we should trust him enough to listen to his word and not try to do things in our own power. And today I have a challenge for us as we leave. We're going to end a little differently today, but we're going to do something called the Be Still Challenge. Are you guys ready for this? Okay. Isaiah 64:4, since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who do what? Wait for him. So as we close today, here's the challenge. This is for the next 6 days, okay? So we're going to end this on Saturday, and I believe we're going to see a tangible difference if we agree to this. But Psalms 46:10 says this, be still and know that I'm God. Now, how many of you would be honest today and say, I have no idea how to be still anymore? My phone's open. Maybe I'm the only one. Okay, I'm the only guy that doesn't know. Okay, thank you. Here's the challenge. For 6 days this week, every morning or whenever you find time, you need to be still before the presence of the Lord for 5 minutes. I heard a story about a guy who was a workaholic, and he went to counseling. And the counselor said, here's what I want you to do. Be still for 5 minutes. He's like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He went home. And 30 seconds went by. You know what he said? This is the hardest thing I've ever done. And here's the challenge for you workaholics. I know we got people who are called to a lot here. We're a gifted church. We say that a lot. But here's the thing. How many of you trust God enough to be still for 5 minutes and expect him to speak to you? And what's going to happen when you're still is idolatry is going to be broken in your life on things that you think are more important. Well, while you're still, you know what's going to happen is you're going to leave the laundry undone. You're going to leave your emails unchecked. Your Facebook can get by with you, without you for 5 minutes, I'm telling you. And the only rule is this, you can't put your Be Still Challenge on Instagram. I don't want to know how still you are while you have a camera in front of your face. Right? Because that's when we're most holy, right? Look at me, I'm being still right now, right? Right? I'm actually getting off social media for the next 6 days. I'm sick of being, I want all my attention on God in this. I need to hear from the Lord in this season. And so here's the challenge. Be still in the presence of God for 5 minutes. Pray first. Consult with God. Connect with the creator of the universe. Let God refresh you. Put yourself on a clock for 5 minutes. And if you already have that habit, which I think a lot of us probably don't, make it 10 minutes. Push yourselves. How long can you be still in the presence of God? Hear from God. And watch God be true to his word, that our God is the kind of God who will work for you while you wait on him. How many of you guys are willing to do that this week? If you could, take the Be Still Challenge. Can you stand up in this place? If you could, close your eyes. Let's get in a posture of waiting in this place. If you could, why don't you get both hands in the air, just kind of an international sign of surrender. Come on and have a conversation with God right where you're at. Maybe you need to repent right now of things that you've taken control over that God never told you to. For some of you, this is a time just to reconnect with your God and have him refresh you and pour into you. And I'm telling you, I believe our God is true to his word and that no eye is seen and no ear is heard about a God like ours who works for you while you wait on him. Come on and have a conversation with God right where you're at in this place. Tell him how good he's been to you.